Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Peace be with you, my friend.
Amen to that.
We have a religious creep to talk about today, but before we get to that, I just want to thank some people who joined our Patreon page. Reina, Amy, Lauren, and Helen, thank you all so much. Just go to Patreon and we put out bonus episodes. So about every other week or so, we talk about the news, we trade stories, we tipple a little bit of wine in there. It's really, really fun. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
We also have a Facebook group. If you guys want to join, it is private. You do have to ask to join. And if you don't look like a creep or like sound like a creep, we'll pretty much let you in. So just type in What a Creep podcast group on Facebook. On Twitter, we're at Creep Pod because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We're also on Instagram at What a Creep Podcast, and we have a basic old-timey email. It's whatacreeppodcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com. We have stickers, and Sonia, people are getting their stickers finally.
Yay!
Letting me know. I'm going to send some more out. I just ordered new thank you cards, but if you would like some stickers, we're happy to send them out to you. Also, I want to say thank you to just a few people, Sonia, on iTunes, Madame. We have a person named Do an Episode on Moby, Please.
That's a good name.
From Kelly. That's from Kelly. Kelly, that he might be like a shorter creep. Well, he is a shorter creep, but we might do vignettes or something, but he is definitely on our list. And Bandit Rocks, all of you left 5-star reviews for us. Thank you so much. It really means the world to us. Well, as we say in the intro, we talk about creeps from the past to the present, and today's creep, he's been extra creepy for, I'd say, 35 years or more?
Yeah, that's about right. And he's been a creep very recently. He has not stopped creeping. He has not learned his lesson.
He went to jail and everything. So if you're not aware of who we're talking about right now, Sonia, tell them all about Jim Baker.
All right. We are going to get into Jim Baker. Trigger warning. There is some sexual assault, infidelity, and extreme cosmetic abuse. Sources for this episode: the Charlotte Observer, the Herald Journal, People Magazine, ABC News, NPR, Washington Post, AP News, History.com, the documentary Eyes of Tammy Faye, Wikipedia, of course, always. Jim Baker is probably best known as a popular televangelist in the 70s and 80s. He hosted the 700 Club and the PTL Club with his then wife, Tammy Faye Baker, whose cosmetic choices were a choice, let's just say.
She was ahead of her time. Let's come on.
She was ahead of her time. She has these, she wears like a ton of like mascara. Almost like her eyelashes almost look like tarantulas, a lot of rouge and stuff. She is not our creep, by the way. Like, she may have been complicit in some things, but I feel like she has made amends and that overall she seems to be someone who had a good heart. Mm-hmm. So she is not our creep, but her name will come up a lot. At one point, they were the most famous televangelists in America. They had a religious broadcasting network on which they hosted multiple TV shows, and they lived this very lavish lifestyle with several houses, fancy cars, and more money than God. Jim Baker also misused those funds to try to cover up a sexual assault, and even though he served jail time for fraud and has been accused of sexual assault, he still hosts a show on TV now. What the fuck is that about?
Cancel culture, Sonia. Come on.
Yeah, what? Let's start at the beginning. James Orson Baker was born January 2nd, 1940 in Muskegon, Michigan. Muskegon. See, that's why you're here. That's why I need you. Also to do impressions. His parents were Rayleigh Baker and Bernia Lynette Irwin. He grew up in a very cramped small house next door to his maternal grandparents. His grandmother practically raised him. The house was really small. His sister slept on the couch, and Jim Baker and his two other brothers shared a bedroom.
Yep. Oh, boy.
That's tight quarters.
That's how it was.
That's how it was. Jim Baker attended North Central University, which is a Bible college in Minneapolis. That's where he met fellow student Tammy Faye Lavallee in 1960. He was working at a restaurant at the time, and she was working at a nearby boutique. They married on April Fool's Day. April Fool's!
Aww.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of charming.
In 1961. That was probably her influence, too. She's kind of a goofball.
She was adorable, too, by the way. Everybody yeah, drank when she was young.
The documentary about her, Eyes of Tammy Faye, is you'll have a lot of empathy for her when you watch it. It's pretty good. They had two children together. One is Tammy Sue Baker Chapman and then Jamie Charles Baker. After Jim and Tammy Faye got married, they left college to become evangelists. They were very influenced by Oral Roberts. And if you don't know who that is, he's like a, well, he's an evangelist, y'all. But also there's this blend of Christianity and like showmanship. He's like a very outrageous, loud type person. And this is kind of the precursor to televangelism. Like he would take it out on the road, but Jim and Tammy took it to TV. And I think they refer to that now as like the electric church, like when you go to church on TV, basically. Jim and Tammy Faye, I would say like kind of like a fun, I'm going to put that in quotes, fun family vibe. They preached and they did these shows with these like creepy dead-eyed puppets to like get the attention of children. Once again, just even like Google the puppets. They're fucking weird looking. I don't get it. I think puppets are creepy. Anyway, they got the attention of future What a Creep episode, Pat Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the list. Another televangelist and a media mogul. And he owned the Christian Broadcasting Network. So in 1966, Jim and Tammy Faye agreed to come on board if they could host their own talk show. And that's how the extremely popular 700 Club came to be. And that is shit. That shit is still on the air. And yeah. I don't watch any of these networks because I'm the devil. But I've heard of the 700 Club. It's very popular. The Christian Broadcasting Network actually wasn't very popular at the time, but Jim and Tammy Faye really clicked with people and they helped grow that network. And the 700 Club became the most popular show on the network. They also hosted something called the Jim and Tammy Show. And that is the one that was aimed at young kids and it had a lot of puppets. In 1972, they left the Christian Broadcasting Network and they went to another one called the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And they helped kind of build that one up. And when they got successful there, they decided to go into business for themselves. And they left and started the PTL Satellite Network. Mm-hmm. And PTL stands for Praise the Lord. It really does. I didn't make that up. Praise the Lord. I'm not that clever. And they hosted the very popular PTL Club, and that was their talk show. And they had all kinds of guests on there. So they had people like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, but they also had people like Mr. T on the show.
Did you ever see it?
No.
I used to watch it.
No.
For shits and giggles. I mean, I would just, yeah. You know, you flip around the channel, it would be on there. And it was amazing. I mean, it was batshit. It was like Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of level of...
It totally is. It's like
a quirkiness.
Yeah, but it's like not supposed to be funny. It's like it just is.
No, they did skits. They would do skits.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. They would do these skits. And Tammy Faye, God bless her. She was like, she definitely, when they found out later, she was on pills. I'm like, oh, that tracks. Because she was
totally
very spaced out. But they would have like, you said puppets and people be like, mm-hmm. You know, tell us more about Jesus. Oh, Jesus loves you. Loves you, man. I mean, I remember all this stuff. And then they were constantly begging for money. They constantly, and they're constantly telling people, just put some change in an envelope and mail it to us. It doesn't matter. Just do it.
Yes. So excellent segue into what I was going to say next, which was, so that network, the network was a big success. And it is or it was at the time, the only religious network to have like its own satellite. Like it was a really big deal. And the network did not air commercials. They just asked viewers directly for money, and it worked. And one of the employees told, I think it was the Washington Post, that people would send us mink coats, diamond rings, and deeds to their homes. All sorts of donations.
And it's tax-free, right? The church?
Yes.
Because it's a church? Holy shit.
Exactly. So, on top of their religious network that they had and their multiple TV shows, they also opened a religious theme park.
My friend went to it.
Shut up.
No.
Did your friend have a good time?
No. No. Okay. She's from Atlanta, or just outside Atlanta. She's a Georgia. I call her Peaches because she's my Georgia peach. But her mom was, her dad wasn't a believer. Her mom is the believer. And her mom would send money all the time, and they would beg her not to. But what is it called again?
It is called Heritage USA.
Right. So they would go every year. And she said it was just like they had a Jesus water slide.
Yes.
And they have like shows about abortion bad. You know, this is gay people bad. They had a lot of just crazy things. And then it was an action theme park. It was Walt Disney for Christians. It was bananas. That's what she said.
That's exactly what it was. And they did have water slides. And I do not understand why they were not called holy water slides. It seems like that was a missed opportunity. You could have fun and be baptized. Seems like a waste. Anyway, it was huge. So it was the third largest theme park in the 1980s, only behind Disney World and obviously Disneyland.
Wow.
Yeah. I did want to point out a positive thing. Jim and Tammy Faye were their shows were interdenominational, which meant they included all kinds of different religions, and they were really open to everyone. And they would interview gay. This is like the height of like the AIDS epidemic. And they would talk to gay men about AIDS, and they would talk to people about drug abuse and offer marriage counseling. And religious shows really didn't do that at the time. I don't know if they do that now, to be honest. So, and that was most likely the Tammy Faye influence. And like I said, I don't think she's a creep. I think she might have done some creepy things, but I felt like she tried to make amends and she has a good heart.
I think she was complicit, but I think she also was raised to be a dutiful wife, and she was doing how she was raised to be. And then also I think she just, it was a lot of pressure to put on the show every day, to put on all that makeup. Christ sakes, that would take forever. That's like, you know, like, what am I thinking of? Like, not mods. What am I thinking of? Emo.
Mimes.
No, not mimes. Mummenschanz. No, not that.
Clowns?
No. Goth. That's what I'm thinking of. Goth.
Yes.
My favorite Paul F. Tompkins joke is he's in a cab and he sees a goth girl and she's running really fast. And he's like, holy shit, you never see them run because, you know, their makeup would smear. So he leaned out the window and said, hey, where's the funeral? That always makes me laugh.
I love him so much.
He's so good. He's not a creep.
He's not a creep. So, back to the money.
Yes.
So there were like endless telethons, like all the time. It was always about like more money, more money, more money. And for Jim, like, there was never enough. Mm-hmm. They always needed more. And PTL was one of the largest Christian ministries in the United States. It employed 2,500 people. It took in over $150 million a year.
Jesus.
Yeah. Insane. Wow. So this is when the government starts to take notice. And in 1979, the FCC investigated Jim Baker for misusing funds that he raised on the air. And they found that he had raised $350,000. He told viewers would go towards funding an overseas mission, like building missions overseas. And he actually used it to build out part of that amusement park.
Nope.
Yep. The report also found that they used funds for personal expenses. But instead of trying to make it right, Jim Baker went on the air again and asked for more money to fight the quote unquote witch hunt and wanted the viewers to help, quote, give the devil a black eye.
Wow.
Like, he just used it as another branding opportunity, I guess. It's like he's such a fucking creep. Because, and by the way, a lot of these people who donate to stuff like this, they're not rich people.
No. And they tell them, you know, if you want more money, if you want plentiful things to come into your life, you want money, you want love, you want success, you know, you got to pray to God. And we're those, we will help you pray to God. And God likes us better than other people. So if you give the money to us, he'll answer quicker. Yeah.
That's why we're so successful, because God loves us.
Exactly.
So after the FCC investigations, that's when reporters started paying attention too. And one of them is this gentleman, Charles E. Shepard, and he was a reporter from the Charlotte Observer. And he started looking into the mismanagement and questionable spending of money within the PTL network. And we're going to get to a little bit more on him in a bit. So on December 4th, 1980, then 21-year-old Jessica Hahn got this call from an Oklahoma City evangelist named John Wesley Fletcher. And she had known him from a church in Long Island, a Long Island church where she worked.
Island.
As a, Long
Long.
Did I? Long.
Long Island. That's how we say it. That's where I'm from.
Okay. She worked as a secretary at that church. And he asked her if she wanted to meet Jim Baker. They were flying out to Florida for some sort of conference thing. And he's like, why don't you come out? He needs a babysitter for his children. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. And she was really excited. Hahn was a big fan of the Bakers and their show. And so she jumped at the chance to like come out to Florida so she could meet Jim Baker. I'm sorry, for a telethon and not for a conference. Telethon. Always a telethon. Mm-hmm. And the plan was she was going to meet Jim Baker and then she was going to watch the kids while he did his work. And then instead, on December 6th, she was taken to a hotel room where she met Jim Baker. He showed up in a robe.
Ugh.
He asked for a back rub.
Ugh.
Seriously, if a dude you don't know asks for a back rub, fucking run.
Harvey
if you
Weinstein.
Could run, run. I feel like it is like a reoccurring thing on this show. Anyone ever asks me for a back rub, I'm just going to fucking run.
Just take
off. I'm going to jump out a window, even if I know them. Jessica Hahn says that she was drugged and raped by Fletcher and Baker in that hotel room. Interview, she later said, he just believed that everybody should serve him because he was serving God. So that happened at the end of 1980. And she was so ashamed. She felt like she had done something wrong. She didn't say anything for years. And when she finally did say something, it was like 5 years later. It was 1985. And PTL paid her $279,000 to be quiet. Yeah. By the way, it was paid from the PTL funds through an associate of Jim Baker, and his name was Rob Messner, who, by the way, would later marry Tammy Faye after she gets divorced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So weird. Small world.
279 is an odd number, don't you think?
Totally weird.
Yeah.
Was she like, no, it needs to be
280.
280. And they were like, 279.
She's like, fine.
Ugh. I don't know what happened there. Meanwhile, at the Charlotte Observer, reporter Charles Shepard is covering all these financial mismanagements, and then he just like can't seem to put it all together. And then he gets a call from Jessica Hahn, and that's when like everything clicked. And he discovered that Jim Baker kept two sets of books to conceal accounting irregularities, and he published a series of articles about it. There was a confidential 1985 IRS report that found $1.3 million in ministry funds was used for the Baker's personal benefit.
Oh, God.
Once again, this is people that they're donating their money, they think, to a good cause, and it's really to, you know, fund their houses or buy their mansions, their fancy cars.
Yeah, helicopters.
Or make up for Tammy Faye. Shepard said he was threatened by PTL management several times. On one occasion, he said he went to a corporate office and he met with one of the executives. And this is a quote. I remember very vividly being in his office and he pulled out a handgun and dropped it on the desk, kind of in front of me as if to let me know who is in charge and I better be well behaved.
Damn.
I know.
That's a baller move. I have to say.
Dang. Jesus wants me to shoot you. When the Charlotte Observer.
Fuck you.
Now say amen. Say your prayers, reporter.
Say my name.
Back to Ja Rule. Say my name.
Say my name. Say my name.
When the Charlotte Observer stories came out, Jim Baker actually he resigned. He admitted to a quote-unquote sexual encounter. He never referred to Jessica Hahn by name in this apology, and he said that it was consensual and that she set him up.
Yeah, the girl from Long Island set you up. What an asshole.
Chicks are always doing that. Yeah. Chicks, man.
Chicks, man.
She just wants that sweet rape fame that we're always talking about.
Holy crap. What an asshole.
So he resigns. And then another future What a Creep episode in the making, Jerry Falwell, took over the PTL after Jim Baker. I actually think this is kind of funny. With the idea that he was going to run the ministry for just a little while. Until the scandal died down. And then I wrote, LOL.
Oh, God.
Instead, because Jerry Falwell is the biggest fucking asshole, he barred Jim Baker from returning. He called, and then he went on the air and called Baker a liar, an embezzler, and a sexual deviant, and quote, the greatest scab and cancer on the face of Christianity in 2,000 years of church history.
Wow. Whoa. Dude, didn't even hear about the priest yet, did he?
No. Well, they love to cover up sexual assault. That's totally their jam. I love that Jim Baker's like, I'm sure Jerry Falwell will take really good care of my ministry for me until the scandal dies down. And Jerry Falwell's like, hold my beer, and like totally fucks him over. All of these people are the fucking worst. So he resigns. He is now charged with fraud. So there's like a whole trial about the fraud. And here's the things that come out that Baker and his Praise the Lord associates sold these like lifetime memberships for $1,000 each.
Oh my God.
And it entitled buyers to an annual 3-night stay at a luxury hotel at the religious theme park. Mm-hmm. They sold tens of thousands of these memberships, but there was only one 500 room hotel. So
LOL, when you want to pick the weekend you want to go.
Yeah. You could go 50 years from now.
Oh,
like,
my God.
No, it could like never. It would never happen. Baker sold exclusive partnerships, which exceeded capacity. He raised more than twice the money needed to build the hotel. And then he used that money for operating expenses. And he kept $3.4 million for himself.
And that's a lot of money back then.
So much money.
Yeah.
So after a 16-month federal grand jury probe, Jim Baker was indicted in 1988 on 8 counts of mail fraud, 15 counts of wire fraud, and 1 count of conspiracy. And in 1989, after a 5-week trial, he was found guilty on all 24 counts, and he was sentenced to 45 years in federal prison, and there was a $500,000 fine. I actually think that that's a pretty tough sentence.
Yeah. 45 years is a lot.
Yeah. And then, I mean, by the way, I'm fine with it.
I wasn't going to protest the streets or anything.
Right.
But I think they're sending the message out to the other assholes that try to rob people.
Jim Baker actually appealed this case, and it went to the appeals of the Fourth Circuit, and Jim Baker's conviction on fraud and conspiracy charges were upheld, but the sentence was reduced because court had ruled that the judge was biased. Mm. So they reduced the sentence to 8 years, which he served 5, and then he was put on parole. He got parole. Oh, and guess who was his parole lawyer?
Who?
Alan Dershowitz.
Stop it.
It all goes back to Alan Dershowitz. Oh, always.
God.
That creep is fucking everywhere. He's the worst. I hate that guy. Tammy Faye did not wait for Jim Baker to get out of jail. They were divorced in March 1992, and she remarried the following year. Unfortunately for her, Rob Messner was also sentenced to federal prison for bankruptcy fraud. And he served 27 months in a federal prison because Tammy Faye knows how to pick him.
Wow.
Tammy.
Damn, girl.
I know. Tammy. Eventually, Jim Baker remarried, too. He married this woman, Lori Beth Graham. She was a televangelist. They got married like 50 days after they met. They've adopted 5 kids.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He's still a fucking creep, by the way. He has a show. It's the Jim Baker Show. And he's been broadcasting since 2003. But his show is not really religious anymore. It's more doomsday prepper. You know, it's
true.
Who
saw that?
Yeah, I know. It's weird. He sells like freeze-dried food to his audience. And by the way, I hear the food's really terrible. Just saying. And he talks a lot about the end of days. And then he just says the stupidest shit, like stuff that you're like, oh, he's like an Alex Jones now, basically. He's an Alex Jones. So in October 2017, Baker said God will punish those who ridicule him. I believe he means by him, he means Jim Baker, mm-hmm. not God. He said that Hurricane Harvey was a punishment of God, and he blamed Hurricane Matthew on then President Obama, because apparently Obama, you know, is the devil because he's
black.
Yeah, black and Democrat. Jim Baker said that if Trump was impeached, that Christians would begin a second American Civil War.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He also claimed that he predicted the 9/11 attacks.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. A few days after the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting, he stated in a dream that God came to him wearing a camouflage hunting vest and an AR-15 rifle strapped to his back, and that God supported Trump's plan to arm teachers.
Oh my.
I don't think that's
true. I can't
true.
Even. I dude, lay off the Ambien.
Seriously.
Oh my God. Oh my
so
God.
Most more sense. Recently, Jim Baker was selling these like silver supplements as a
sure.
cure for. Yeah. Swallow this nickel as a cure for COVID. And the Attorney General of New York actually ordered him to stop making these claims. And then the Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration got involved. And so there's this whole, like, once again, like, he's being hauled into court over this kind of shit. And even though he did this, he still received $650,000 and $1.7 million in the Paycheck Protection Program funds that were set up just for struggling businesses during the pandemic.
Oh my.
What the fuck?
God, what the fuck? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy shit.
I'm like, this is like, dude, I'm like, what's going on in the government? Do you guys not have any kind of like content management system? Do you all not know what the other ones are doing? You have the Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration are like investigating this person for committing fraud, yet you still gave him fucking money during the pandemic.
I know people who couldn't get money that
right?
really have small businesses, like they have employees, like they have people to take care of. And it was such a pain in the ass to get anything. And they're just throwing money at people who don't pay taxes because they have a religious thing going on. Oh, my God,
yeah.
This makes me crazy.
They don't need it.
Ugh, I went to jail for fraud. Oh, my God.
So last May, Jim Baker suffered a stroke. They say it was minor, and he was back on the air by July. I just wanted to mention that Jessica Hahn is fine. Mm-hmm. She lives with her husband, who is a movie stuntman. She's super conservative. That's not my fave, but she's super into animals,
oh, that's
which
good.
I love. She lives on a 45-acre ranch. It's like outside of Los Angeles. She even has a turkey named Pearl, which I think is really
aww.
Cute. Not long before Tammy Faye died of colon cancer in 2007, Jessica Hahn and her actually spoke on the phone. And Jessica Hahn said that she had the biggest heart and that Tammy Faye had said to her, Jessica, if I were with you right now, I'd hug you.
Oh, my God.
And that both of them like felt so terrible for the other one and what they had to go through. So I was like,
why don't we have a recording of this? Please, Internet, where is that?
And that's our creep. I do want to give a shout out to something that I did not watch, but I think I am going to watch it because I didn't have time to watch it before this. There is a TV movie called Fall from Grace. starring Kevin Spacey and Bernadette Peters.
I saw it when it came out.
Is it amazing? Is it everything I dream it will be?
Oh, yeah. You know, look, we have our problems with Kevin Spacey, for sure. Yeah. But he's a great actor, and he's actually perfect as Ham.
Yeah, because he's a creep.
Because he's a creep, too. Yeah, he gets it. And Bernadette Peters is really good as Tammy Faye. She makes Bernadette her very humble. She really humanizes Tammy Faye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a 2-hour 2020 episode called Unfaithfully Yours. Mm-hmm. About the rise and fall of the Bakers, which I looked everywhere and could not find. And I was super bummed because I love me some 2020.
It's on Hulu. Do you have Hulu?
I do. And I looked, but that episode is not on there. I was so fucking bummed.
Because every week on Hulu here in America, anyway, they have ABC 2020 and they have a new crime every week.
Yeah.
Minimal commercials. It's really good.
Yeah. Did you watch the one about the Menendez brothers?
Yeah, I did.
I watched it too. I'm so, like, I love you, 2020. I've been missing you.
Okay, so how did you, at the time with the Menendez brothers, I'm sorry, we're switching topics for just a quick sec.
Yeah.
At the time, I thought they were full of shit.
Me too.
I thought completely full of shit, and I thought they were arrogant and all. And now I'm like, I think the dad really molested them. I think they really grew up in an abused home.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it totally screwed them up, and like they should still be in jail. And I had a real turnaround in my feelings about them.
Me too. I was like super conflicted when I was watching it. I was like, it was similar to the Britney Spears one where I was like, I, where was my empathy at the time? I didn't have any. Also, just the way it was covered at the time, that one.
It's 30 years ago. I mean, yeah, we were different.
But it's a really good episode. And if you have Hulu or you just have regular TV and can watch 2020. It's on there. But anyway, that's our creep.
Yes. Jim Baker.
Jim Baker.
Nice job, Sonia. Thank you so much for doing that for me, because I would not be able to handle it. Do you want to hear about our non-creeps?
Yes, please.
All right. Let me take a sip of water and we'll get into it. I want to talk about our non-creep this week, and it's the city of Muskegon, Michigan. That's why I could pronounce it, because I have it right in front of me, and I've been watching clips online. I just felt like, you know, to find another religious person who's not a shithead is actually really tough. Yeah. And I thought, like, well, where was he from, and what's it like there? If you ever meet anybody from Michigan, they'll hold their hand up and say, look at my hand. This is where I'm from, because Michigan is shaped like a hand. Mm-hmm. Muskegon, I don't know where it is on the hand. I don't even know why I brought that up. But I know it because I used to work for West Marine, and it's a company that sells boating, fishing, sailing supplies. And it's one of those big port cities. And they have a lot of, like, they have sailing regattas. And Michigan's very beautiful. And it's like right by the lakes. It's really wonderful. It's about 40,000 people that live there. I just looked up the name Muskegon is derived from the Ottawa tribe term Muskegon, meaning marshy river or swamp. It was discovered by the French. Well, there are indigenous people there. And then
discovered, quote unquote.
Yeah, quote unquote. Sorry. My old childhood habits of, you know, history.
Yes.
They break in every once in a while. But it was settled. It was first the French and then, you know, our people taking over. It's a nice, sleepy little town. It's very pretty. It gets really hot in the summer, very hot and humid. It gets really cold in the winter. And it's right smack dab in the middle of America. And I want to talk about a few people who are not creeps, who are from Muskegon. One of them is Virginia Bell. She served in Japan during World War II, and then later became a part of the American All-Girls Professional Baseball League as a ball player. We have Iggy Pop is from Muskegon. I love Iggy Pop.
He is an alien. Are you sure he's really from there? Because I think he might be an alien.
No. He's from Muskegon.
All right.
Harry
seems
Morgan.
Made up to me.
Harry Morgan from MASH, Colonel Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Sherman
Colonel Potter.
T. Potter. He's from there. Steve Gorman from the Black Crows. He's the drummer. He's from Muskegon.
You love the Black Crowes.
I do love the Black Crowes. Betty LeVette, she's a soul singer. She's the one that sang Only Love, that Who song, Love Rain Over Me. She did it at the White House or something a few years ago, and it turns out she was this big star, but then she like fell off and then she became famous again. Anyway, Betty LeVette.
Has so many famous people.
It really does. I mean, there's Buster Keaton is from here. Yep.
I love Buster Keaton movies.
Bill Green. Bill Green is a hammer thrower. He was the U.S. record holder, fifth place at the 1984 Olympic Games.
Please, hammer.
Jocks. Yes.
Don't hurt him.
Jesus Christ. Although, they're kind of my sports. Yeah, Bill Green. And then, I'm sorry, here's the MLB players. We have Ray Newman. Do you know how that is? He's a pitcher. All right. Nate McLouth from the Washington Nationals.
That sounds familiar.
Or McLouth. Ronald Johnson, he was with the San Francisco 49ers. And Benny Oosterbaan, he was the three-time University of Michigan All-American football player and head coach. Marley Shriver, an Olympic swimmer. Anyway, those are those famous people that
so
are
many
from
people.
Muskegon, a town of 40,000. It's a small town, and a lot of really cool people come from there. So that's our Not Creep this week. Muskegon, Michigan.
That's a really good one. I can't get over how many people.
I know.
Because, you know, I'm from Concord. It's a little bit bigger than that. And I'm like, we got like two people, maybe. I think Tom Hanks.
He's from Concord?
Born there, I think. Yeah. And what was the other one? Jazz guy.
Herbie Hancock? Dave's,
no, Dave something. Shit.
Sanborn?
No. I'm going to look it up now.
Okay. Steve Gorman, by the way, the Black Crowes, has a biography about his life with the Black Crowes, and he's a very funny guy. He's very witty. He's clever. And my favorite story,
Dave Brubeck.
Oh yeah, he was a big deal. My favorite story is that the Black Crowes toured with Jimmy Page. It was like 20 years ago, and I went to that see it. It was awesome, and Jimmy Page was having so much fun. That there was Chris and Rich Robinson. They're the two brothers, and they're like Oasis. They hate each other. Like, they fight like all the time. And Jimmy Page.
Brothers who hate each other always want to start bands.
They do. Well, I guess being on the road would drive each other crazy. But Jimmy Page approached Rich Robinson, the guitarist for the Black Crowes, and said, "Hey, man, why don't we go into the studio and write some songs?" And Rich said, "Nah, we're good." That was 20 years ago. Tell me a Black Crowes song from then until now. You can't name one. Mm-mm. And it's Rich's fault for being a dick.
Duh.
That's all I have to say about that.
That's all I'm saying about that.
All right, you guys. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Follow us on social media. Once again, we have bonus eps on our Patreon page, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, if you feel like kicking in a few bucks. Oh, we forgot to mention our website. Sonia, can you talk about that just quickly?
Oh, yes, I can. It's at whatacreeppodcast.com, and it's everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but were afraid to ask. It has links to all of our past episodes and our merch shop, where you can get amazing t-shirts and tote bags and journals and whatever your heart's desire. You can get masks. They're great.
You get laundry bags.
Calvin's wearing his What a Creep shirt today. He loves it.
Also, you guys, please be sure to subscribe. That way you'll never miss an episode. And we'll be back soon with a new episode. So in the meantime, get vaccinated if you can. Please keep washing your hands using that Air Purell dry, you know, that shit on your hands. Whatever. Maintain social distancing. Just, you know, please just keep being safe. The numbers are going down finally.
We're almost there.
The home stretch. This could be an awesome summer. Don't be an asshole right now. Don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.